Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're getting straight into the Provincial Treasury's annual report for the 2024-25 financial year. This one was signed off by Jolinda Gantana.
Right.
And our mission is really to pull out what matters. And the biggest headline here, I think we can agree, is the department's 12th consecutive unqualified audit without findings.
A clean audit. For 12 years.
12 straight years.
I mean, that's just remarkable. It's not just about clean books. It really speaks to, you know, a sustained culture of fiscal discipline.
Mm-hmm.
It's why the Auditor General points to the province as the top performer across both local and provincial government. Mm-hmm. It really does set a national benchmark for accountability.
Okay, so beyond that incredible streak, let's unpack the actual financial results, because there was a bit of a surprise in here, wasn't there?
There was. They recorded an overcollection of R4.5 to 3 million. And
yeah.
You just don't see that very often in a government body.
Not at all. So where did that come from?
Well, this is the interesting part. The vast majority of that wasn't from, say, unexpected tax revenue. It came from actively recovering unspent conditional grants from previous years that have been paid out to municipalities.
So they're clawing back money that wasn't used as intended.
Exactly. It shows a really sharp focus on not just spending correctly, but on ensuring every rand has an impact.
And that seems to lead directly into their big operational priority going forward, which is doubling down on the PFMA and the MFMA.
That's right. The Public Finance Management Act and the Municipal Finance Management Act.
Yeah.
It's core governance. Their goal is pretty simple on paper, but, you know, very difficult in practice.
Which is?
To reduce unauthorized, irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. It's an ongoing battle.
And to fight that battle, they're investing heavily in their own people. I saw they maintain their SECA accreditation.
Yeah, which is a huge deal for developing and keeping top-tier finance professionals.
Yeah.
And they're also on this culture journey. They're in phase 3 of 5, trying to build a more values-driven organization.
But there's a tension there, isn't there? The report mentions some real operational challenges.
A constant tension. Elevated vacancies in key roles.
Yeah.
That's the real challenge. You know, you think about it, getting a clean audit while you're understaffed in critical positions.
It takes some serious effort.
It does. And that's why they're pushing for this comprehensive talent management strategy. They have to attract and keep those skilled people.
Okay. So let's pivot from those internal pressures to the big external storm, the new National Public Procurement Act.
This is a big one. It was gazetted in July, and it completely replaces the old PPPFA. And for the Western Cape government, this is where the constitutional stakes get very, very high.
What are their main arguments against it?
It really boils down to two things. First, they argue there wasn't enough public participation for such a massive change.
Okay.
But the second point is the critical one. The act creates a national public procurement office, and they see that as a direct challenge to provincial and municipal autonomy under Section 217 of the Constitution.
So a centralization of power.
That's their core argument.
Yeah.
It potentially undermines local decision making.
So while that massive legal fight is brewing, what's the provincial treasury doing to, you know, keep its own house in order?
They're pushing hard on transparency with their own tools. They're using digital platforms like the e-procurement solution, the EPS, to modernize things.
Right.
And crucially, they're publishing procurement disclosure reports, or PDRs. This makes key contract details public, which is a powerful check against irregular spending, no matter what happens with the national law.
It paints such a fascinating picture. You've got this entity achieving top-tier financial excellence on one hand.
That clean audit.
Exactly. While on the other hand, they're in this major governance fight over provincial autonomy.
It's a real duality. And it all leads to this final long-term goal they mentioned in the report. They want to achieve a level 5 rating in what's called results-based monitoring and evaluation, or RBM&E.
And what does that mean in plain English?
Well, right now they're at a very respectable level, 3.4.
Right.
But RBM&E isn't just about, was the money spent legally? It's about, did the program actually achieve what it set out to do? It's about measuring real-world impact.
I see. So for you, the listener, here's something to think about. Making that jump from a 3.4 to a level 5, that's a move beyond just simple compliance.
It's a huge leap.
So what systemic changes, what cultural shifts does a government body need to make to truly institutionalize that kind of excellence and continuous learning across every single department?
A critical question for the future public service, absolutely.
Thank you for joining us for this deep dive into the Provincial Treasury's performance and its challenges.